Heavenly Father, you've displayed your beauty and majesty, your grace and truth, your righteousness and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you that in your holy word, we read him, Christ crucified and risen from the dead for the salvation of sinners and for our purification and our glorification. We pray that you will show us your glory tonight in your word. By your Spirit, make us hunger and thirst for truth. Use your word to equip our brother Bryce for his work, to equip the congregation for their task, to equip us all in the Lord's name to be your faithful servants. Father, we ask for your presence and for your help and your blessing this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn with me in your Bibles, we'll read 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10. The visit of the Queen of Sheba to Jerusalem, to Solomon. After building the palace, building the temple, and instituting worship in the temple, bringing the sacrifices, and praying for God's blessing, we have the Queen of Sheba coming to visit Solomon. 1 Kings 10, we'll read verses 1 through 13. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind, and Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of almugwood and precious stones. And the king made of the almugwood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such almugwood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. This is God's word. May he bless this to our hearts and lives. beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I remember with fondness Bryce's service in Strathroy 2 years ago as a seminarian. Bryce, your love for the Lord and your commitment to his word, to Christ-centered preaching, to the flock of God, the extension of the kingdom, covenant theology. We were so thankful for that. And your congregation will be greatly blessed by that. And also, if you've not gotten to know Bryce very well yet, you will soon discover that he is not shy. He loves to talk. So make sure that you get to know him well enough that you get him to talk. One of the blessings of having Bryce in our midst was that he worked through the reign of Solomon in 1 Kings. I hope you remember that. And one of the things I remember especially is when we got to discuss 1 Kings 10 together and the visit of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon and how we discussed titles like He Took Her Breath Away or He Takes Your Breath Away. I think you ended up speaking about the breathtaking beauty of the king or something like that. But I'm just going to take your sermon and give it back to us tonight. I don't know if that's often done at ordinations. I didn't check closely. I hope there's not too much plagiarism. But I trust that this word from 1 Kings 10 will give you much delight in the ministry of the word, dear brother, and your congregation much delight in hearing the ministry of the word as the ministry of Christ, who is wisdom from God, is breathtaking in its glory, wisdom, its breadth, its depth. God's king here in this chapter overwhelms the Queen of Sheba with his sheer beauty, glory, wisdom, and wealth. May you be given grace to minister that word, that Christ of breathtaking beauty and wisdom, and your congregation also be blessed to hear that, to receive that, like the Queen of Sheba did. We want to look at two things: how she came and saw how beautiful is he. She came and saw how beautiful is he. And then secondly, she came and saw how blessed are we. How beautiful is he. How blessed are we. You must understand, of course, congregation, this passage is not really about King Solomon, but about King Solomon as a type and prophecy of King Jesus. He's the anointed one on Jesus' throne. And he's a prophecy of the Christ who is to come one day in the flesh and be seated upon the throne as he is today, crucified, risen from the dead, reigning, ruling over the nations, and gathering his people to himself. Indeed, happy. Happy is the people who have him as their king. Jesus called himself something greater than Solomon. In Matthew 12, when his own people were rejecting his wisdom, and the Pharisees declared Jesus to be a tool of Beelzebub, a tool of Satan, you remember how Jesus told Israel, the Queen of Sheba will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. First, she came. She came. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. She came from a long ways away. From the ends of the earth, Jesus said. From Sheba. Most likely southern Arabia or Yemen. about 1,000 miles away, coming on camels, no small journey. And no small journey for a head of state in those days. And she came because she heard of Solomon's fame. But notice, much more than that, she heard of Solomon's fame concerning the name of the Lord. And that's what attracted her to come and hear him. Because of all the wise men of the East, she saw in this man divine wisdom. Something different, something unique. She came. If you look a little bit further in chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, it explains, "Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind." That's why he was famous, because of the name of the Lord that was with him and in him, giving him an uncommon wisdom, vastly superior to everyone else. And that tells us, dear Brother Bryce and dear congregation, what we have as the people of God and what kind of ministry we have. The ministry of the name of the Lord, the name that excels every other name that is found anywhere in history and anywhere in the world. That only name under heaven given to men whereby we are saved. It's the good news of the Lord, the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, who comes down, he came down to Israel to rescue them from slavery in Egypt, finally came down in the Lord Jesus. He's the God who comes down in human flesh to redeem us and bring us into communion with God. There's no other name like that. There's no other ministry like the Christian ministry. No other message, congregation, that you could ever receive that's in this league, in this category, of the name of the Lord, of which Solomon was a prophecy and a type. And that name is not only light for the church, for us, but light for the whole world, for all the nations. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." But of course, they go together. Because Jesus shines this divine, supernatural light. He is this light. He has chosen us to be his representatives, to shine him, his light, as his weak servants throughout the world. So, Lord, the Lord is pleased to make a name for himself through you. Through you. And through the people who receive that message. She came not because she was curious, as many think. She came because she was needy. She was thirsty. She was confused. She was troubled. She was lost. She saw his star from afar and came to see this great king who had God's name in him. And that's why it says in verse 3 that when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind, and the word is heart, all that was on her heart. Her heart was pressed with trouble. She needed the name of the Lord. And we see, secondly, she came and she heard. She came and she heard. We read in verse 3, Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. Verse 1 says, she came to test him with hard questions. That word is riddles, dark sayings, hidden things, problems, issues, worries, fears, questions that pressed on her heart deeply, and she needed answers. And she was not satisfied with the answers of others. For all she had as queen, all her wealth and power and conveniences and creature comforts, she did not have answers. She didn't have the light. And Solomon shone upon her life, upon her heart issues, the wisdom God gave him. If you look back in 1 Kings 4, verses 29 to 34, it says God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs are 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And then we read, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. She came and she heard. And that's truly the Spirit of Christ living in Solomon. Jesus is God's wisdom for the whole world. Colossians 2 says that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, we preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You really want to know the wisdom of God? It's in the Son of God, become flesh, crucified for our sin, and raised again from the dead. It's really the wisdom where the book of Ecclesiastes pushes us. When it keeps running into the wall of death, death that makes life meaningless, pushing us to the only wisdom there is to get us beyond that, resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, dear brother, as Solomon, with the Spirit of Christ in him, could answer all her deepest issues, the Christian minister has all the answers to the deepest questions of life. Jesus' death for sin, his resurrection to life, carries in it the answers to evil, to pain, to suffering, to anger, to sorrow, to abuse, to injustice, to sin, to death, to all the quest for meaning and purpose. He's the hope of all the world. And even though Christ had not yet come, the queen could hear in Solomon's answers to her questions, there was wisdom from above that was the solution that she needed, the key to all her needs, the fulfillment of life's true meaning. Solomon's Lord. The name of the Lord is a place to find life. So she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. She heard. And then she saw. Look at verses 4 and 5. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. She fainted. He took her breath away with all the breadth of wisdom that was in him. That was Solomon's wisdom in the Lord. Wisdom not only as a matter of words answering her questions, but a matter of works. Showing her the political structure, the administrative structure, the economic structure, his own palace, his architecture and art, and finally, the spiritual character of Israel with the temple of the Lord and the offering of burnt offerings to him. And when she saw those offerings, there was no more breath in her. All of 1 Kings up to this chapter is building up piece after piece, the wisdom of Jesus in Solomon's reign. And finally, after last piece is in place, there's the holy tour by a pagan queen of everything. All to the glory, not of Solomon, but to Solomon's God, as she'll say later, blessed be your God. It took her breath away. And brothers and sisters, notice what finally took her breath away and made her faint. Verse 5, the offerings, the burnt offerings that she offered at the house of the Lord. What would be her deepest question? How do I get rid of my sin and guilt? How do I become right with God? How can I find peace with God? How can I live with God? How can I have life forever? How can I destroy death? How can I escape judgment? And in Solomon's explanation of the offering, this was it. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There's no other name, there's no other place, there's no other person where this can be found in all the world and in all the history than in the name of the Lord. It was foreshadowed in Solomon, seen in the offerings, but fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. To die on the cross. He offered his life as a sin offering so we might be forgiven. We might become righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus. We might have eternal life. That's the only wisdom in all the world that answers the deepest questions of life. There's no other name, no other place. Jerusalem, now the heavenly Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, who speaks from heaven through us. Brother, again, you have the only gospel. It takes the breath away and stuns us with amazement when we as sinners come before God and see what Christ has done for us. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. In congregation, Jesus says to us, if the Queen of Sheba would travel from the ends of the earth to hear this message, why are we so often not excited and not amazed? That was his judgment upon the people in that day. Jesus is God's inexpressible gift. 2 Corinthians 9. 1 Peter 1, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. He's the wisdom that truly out of this world. That having your breath take away can be read in two ways in the Bible. On the one hand, it's the fainting of amazement. As when Jesus spoke like no one had ever spoken. And they were amazed at the authority with which he spoke and the message he brought. So there's the fainting of amazement, but there's also the fainting of cutting down of pride. We read that use of the language in Joshua 5 verse 1 when the peoples around Israel saw how God had led his people through the Jordan River to the other side, there was no more spirit left in them. There was no more breath left in them. All their plans against God at that moment, all their pride and opposition failed, fell flat. And so also with her, it humbles us to meet such a God. The gospel is heavenly, the heavenly weapon given to us that is divine power to destroy strongholds, We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Well, secondly, the queen came and not only saw how beautiful is he, but how blessed are we. Look at verse 6 and following. She said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." In the first half of the passage, the queen receives the revelation of God, God's messianic king. She takes in the wisdom and the glory and the justice and the beauty, the happiness, the love, the excellency of his reign, and it took her breath away. And in the second half, she responds to that wisdom and glory and beauty and justice that she saw in the king. She has met the Lord Jesus Christ. She has seen his reign from afar off through Solomon. And she is filled with praise. "I wouldn't believe the reports until I saw it. And now that I see it, I realize the reports weren't half as good as the true glory of the king and his reign." And so again, she gives a threefold response. First, "Your people are happy." Her first words of praise. "Your people are happy." Happy are the people who get to live under this wise and good king. That takes us back to 1 Kings 4, 24 and 25. "Judah and Israel were as many as the sand by the sea. They ate and drank and were happy. Solomon had peace on all sides around him. Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon." And how much happier are the people who get to live under the reign of the greater than Solomon. Under the ministry of good news of righteousness and peace, who get to live under the ministry of forgiveness of sins, of justification in Jesus, of the power to pick us up when we fall, the power to strengthen us to walk in his ways. How happy are those who get to live under the distribution, the administration of Christ, the distribution of gifts in the body of Christ, so that we can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. How happy are those who get to live under the king who gives you life and gives it to you abundantly. Who get to live with the shepherd under whom you lack nothing. Christians are truly the happiest, richest, most satisfied people in all the world because they live under a God who is full of goodness and mercy. Dear Brother Bryce, let this happiness of the people of God under the ministry of Christ drive you to proclaim him. Here's the great blessing, isn't it, of ministry in our time. Though we may be in the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us. That's our happiness. It's not the happiness of saying, "I'll give you a trouble-free, problem-free life. I'll bring you a Christ who makes you rich even when you're poor, who fills you with everything when you have nothing, who gives you peace when there's so much pain." There's great happiness that we get to bring to the people of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The true happiness of joy in the Lord. Let the queen remind you, dear brother and congregation, to rejoice in the Lord always. We really have it good under the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget the supreme happiness of knowing Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, and we let ourselves become bored and sour and quarrelsome and petty. Pastors can become that way. Congregations can become that way. Happy are you. Happy are you to be under the ministry of Jesus Christ through the servant he has put in your midst to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Her first response, your people are happy, Solomon. Her second response, your God loves you so much, Israel, as to give you such a great and wise king. God be blessed for delighting in this king and putting him on the throne. And much more so, we bless God for delighting in Christ, Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, God says of his king, the Lord Jesus, of his son. And then when he came to earth, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now think of that. Jesus is so delightful to God because of his perfect glory and wisdom and righteousness. And then he takes the object of his delight, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes him your king. He gives him to us to be our king. What love of God that he would give us his son, Jesus Christ, to be our king. And that's what she says to Israel. How much the Lord must love you, dear church, to give you such a king. And I'm going to add to that, how much the Lord must love you, dear adoration, to give you a messenger of the king. Just a jar of clay, but the treasure of the unspeakable Christ, whose death for sin, whose resurrection to new life, is the answer to everything, every need in your life, and for all the nations. How loved are we as pastors to be called to represent him, and how loved are we as people to receive his ministry? Sometimes we feel unloved. But then let's always go back to the truth that the queen saw and heard, that we are the people specially chosen and loved by God to be given such a Savior and King to rule our lives and to lead us to eternal glory. And the third thing is this, she honored him with gifts. Verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon, not to repay him for his wisdom, but to honor his greatness and to thank him for all he had done for her. Her life would never be the same after meeting God's anointed. And it's the same way when we get to hear about the greater than Solomon. When we get to hear his voice speaking to us through his servant, through his under-shepherd, and be saved by him, and be changed by him, be transformed and sanctified by him, and be made rich through him, to give our lives to him who gave his life for us, and to show his worthiness and the value of his great kingdom by offering ourselves up for him as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He took her breath away, not because of who he was in himself as a man, but because the name of the Lord was in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived in Solomon. She met God in him. Now, I hate to say it, but this is the top of the mountain for Solomon's reign, and the next chapter, it's all gone. In chapter 11, Solomon's distraction, degradation, and death. What a huge disappointment. And just a few closing notes when we reflect on that. There's a strong warning to us here as pastors. We're not the Christ. An unfaithfulness lives in our hearts, and we need to take heed to ourselves lest we fall away from Christ and are no longer a light to the nations. And a note to consistories and congregations to guard your pastor through your prayers, your encouragement, your fellowship. And when necessary, brotherly admonitions. Take this brother into your hearts, your homes, your lives. Be a friend to him. But there's also strong encouragement to look past Solomon and to look past the man to the Christ. And don't look for the man to amaze you, because he'll disappoint you. But listen for the Christ in his preaching and in his ministry. And focus on the Lord Jesus, and you'll continually have your breath taken away by the depth of the wisdom, or the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll grow and grow and grow in the Lord Jesus. Jesus will keep taking your breath away as you focus on him in the ministry of the word. It's a strong encouragement also for pastors when we see Solomon's fall, to look for our strength in Jesus. In Solomon's strength, we can shine just for a little while, but in Jesus' strength, we'll shine the light for a lifelong ministry. Let's keep looking to Jesus for our strength, for our own amazement, that we may be constantly amazed at the Lord Jesus Christ as we study the scriptures and have our breath taken away. Cut down in our pride, lifted up by his greatness. That we may keep coming to him, to hear him, and see his glory. Do we want the Queen of Sheba to point her finger at us on the day of judgment and condemn us? Because we who live so close to Jesus aren't interested in him. And don't hunger and thirst for wisdom in him who was crucified and raised for us. Then instead, let's learn from her how to come and hear and be amazed. There's always more beauty in Jesus, more depth in his love, to be amazed day in, day out. May God bless us through his Christ, both as pastor and congregation, to be a light to the nations. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are the light of the world. Thank you for sending your Son to be that light in our world, shining in the darkness. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that through him the nation come to your light. Help the pastor shine that light of the gospel through his ministry. The congregation to receive that ministry so that they might shine to their neighbors, to the ends of the earth as the light of the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the glory of Christ might constantly amaze us, but also answer our questions, our issues, our needs, and that he might be for us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.